tenderly.
"This was not made yesterday, no," he murmured, as he so often did. "Not the creation of one of the master craftsmen, but a fine instrument."
He ran the bow across the responsive strings, and his whole face lighted with pleasure.
"Did you hear that, Janie? That is music, yes?"
Janie agreed with him, and looked almost as enthusiastic. "Play something," she begged, but he shook his head and put the violin away, again in its case, and returned the case to the shelf.
"No, there is much to do, and I cannot spare the time."
He sighed as he contemplated the array, or rather, the disarray, in front of him.
"Why is it that we collect so much junk, Janie, and only a very little of that which is truly valuable?"
He picked up a battered mouth organ, and then cast it aside, to join the company with a selection of flutes, trumpets, accordions, etc. The whole tiny shop seemed to be full of the discarded accompaniments of a musician's life.
"Even a poor violin gives me pleasure, but I have never yet attempted to play on a mouth organ."
He turned away, suddenly very businesslike and a little peevish.
Those lists,
he demanded petulantly.
"That latest consignment of records, Pick of the Pops."
And he actually snorted.
"Have you got them all sorted and on display to our customers?"
One of the customers, a youth in too tight trousers and an amazing sweater, came in and brought a couple of the latest records, and Janie put his money inside the till and gave him the right amount of change. When he had gone away and the shop door bell had stopped quivering, she returned to her employer's side and watched him flicking aimlessly with a feather duster at a bust of Beethoven that stood on a pedestal in a corner.
"You had good news this morning?" she asked him, very softly, because she knew that he had received a letter.
"Your daughter is well, Mr. Brand." He shook his head, staring owlishly at the bust of Beethoven.
"Not so well, child. She has a bad throat. A tired throat, she calls it. She is coming home on a visit. Just a short visit."
"Oh, but that's wonderful," Janie exclaimed, amazed that he didn't appear to think so. "Even a short visit will mean that you will actually see her and be able to talk with her. And I expect a good many famous singers suffer from tired throats occasionally. And after such an exhausting tour..."
"She says that it went off well," the old man remarked, as if it was of little interest to him. "She says that every time she sang, the audience rose to its feet and cheered her until they were hoarse. In Vienna, they were so many bouquets that her dressing room was like a corner of an enchanted garden."
He studied Janie, as if there were certain aspects of her appearance that were striking him for the first time.
"You have hair the same colour as hers. So very fair. Your eyes are grey, and hers are as blue as a summer sky, but otherwise you are much alike. I am surprised I haven't noticed it before."
Janie smiled at him. "You flatter me," she told him. "I've seen photographs of your daughter, don't forget. And there can only be one Vanessa Brandt in the whole wide world." He sighed again.
"She was christened Sophia," he remarked. "I don't know why she should call herself Vanessa."
"For publicity reasons, I expect. Because it sounds good."
"Sophia is a family name," he muttered obstinately. "To me it also sounds very good indeed, and how are my neighbours to know that I have a famous daughter if she calls herself by some..."